Welcome to the Houston Strength Podcast. Let's uncover your strength.
What's going on, guys? This is Jordan with Houston Strength. Thanks for tuning in to the Houston Strength Podcast. This is episode 3, and today we're going to be talking about common injuries, aches, and pains that we'll experience in the gym and some approaches to fixing them and why those are happening. So before we get into that, I think it's important to talk about the difference between soreness and pain. So I want to throw out the term DOMS, so delayed onset muscle soreness. So this is when we've worked out, we have that tired, burning feeling either during or after, but we can still go about our everyday activities. We're just experiencing slight discomfort. Whereas pain, we're going to have sharp pain during exercise and sometimes at rest. And then our everyday activities are going to be disturbed from that pain. And soreness is only going to occur with the muscles, whereas pain can happen in both the muscles and in the joints. And the best thing we can do for either is to try to address it through exercise selection that's not going to worsen and is going to help us improve our condition. So when we are injured, I want to talk about this. There are phases of recovery. So when we get hurt, we're not just magically better one day. We need to step through these phases. So the first phase after injury is going to be the inflammation phase. And the injury is stabilized in this phase. It's usually going to occur for about a week. And then we enter the second phase, which is the repair phase, about 7 days after the injury, and can last for up to 2 months. And once we exit the repair phase, we get into the remodeling phase. This is where things are starting to heal up, collagen production begins, and this will last from 2 months as long as a year, if not longer. So today we're going to talk about 3 big ones that I've seen in the gym in over a decade of training now, and that's going to be low back pain, shoulder pain, and knee pain. I feel like we could talk all day if we went joint by joint and talked about aches and pains and injuries we might see. I'm just going to talk about the big 3 again in the low back pain, shoulders, and knees. So we're going to start with low back pain, and this seems to be the most common thing, and myself I've experienced this at certain points in my life, which usually will arise from a strain of some of the muscles surrounding the spine. And this happens from overuse. You may have a bulging or damaged disc or some type of injury to the disc. The spinal fractures are pretty uncommon from weightlifting, but not impossible. And we have encountered clients that were working out on their own in the past and did actually break their back in the gym. So not impossible, but not a very common occurrence. A lot of the times the risk factors for low back pain and injuries are related to the position of the back. And this is maintaining a neutral spine, keeping everything straight when it needs to be straight. And then, and rarely will we call for it, but like when we do a sit up, spinal flexion. So focusing on spinal flexion when we need to, all other times, keeping the back straight, keeping it in a neutral alignment. And we'll bridge into the next step of a risk factor in the gym, which is core stability and knowing how to use intra-abdominal pressure when we're lifting. So when we're squatting, taking that breath in and pressing against all the muscles in our core to engage it and protect our back. Next, sometimes people just have a pre-existing back issue, and this can come from just not having a neutral alignment in the spine. Kyphosis and scoliosis are very common, and a lot of us experience it, even though it may just be to a small degree. And then lastly, our daily habits unrelated to the gym. So especially if you work a desk job, truck drivers, for instance, if we're sitting for extended periods of time. And then the opposite of that is extreme activity. So I've worked with people that are welders or construction workers, and they have a pretty labor intensive day. And we need to program accordingly to their energy levels and their stress levels, including that they experience at work and outside of the gym. even parenting, or especially parenting, holding a kid for an extended period of time, that'll hurt your back. You got to make sure we're prepared for the demands, not only in the gym, but of our everyday life outside of the gym. So the way we like to approach the back injuries in the beginning is you want to avoid any strain that will be added in the gym. So we don't want to do movements like an RDL, overhead squat, even a back squat, and then also rotation of the spine. So I wouldn't do a Russian twist if I'm having lower back pain right off the bat. As we start to heal up, we've given it that week for that inflammation phase to pass. We're entering our repair phase. We can start introducing some of those movements with lighter weights. So we do some light RDLs. Probably still don't want to do any Olympic lifting movements or load on the back squat or front squat in the beginning there. Maybe a light goblet squat. But regaining that core stability into our remodeling phase where we start working the weights back up and reintegrating movements that we were visiting before our injury. And again, this is probably the most common thing we'll see in the gym. I think having strong glutes and hamstrings is going to help to support your lower back, doing lots of hip thrust, bridges, and the like to stabilize it is one of the best things you do. And always have a strong core, keep your spine neutral when you need to. Hopefully not going to experience back pain afterwards once you address those two things. So strong glutes and hamstrings. And then stabilize your core. And that's not just your abs, all the way around. So we've got 29 muscles in the core. Make them all strong. So next, we're going to talk about the shoulder. So the shoulder strains happen a lot. I've experienced this myself at times. And we just need to know kind of how the shoulder works and the anatomy of the shoulder. So the main injuries we'll see are rotator cuff injuries. And so we got the rotator cuff has two little muscles in the front, two little muscles in the back, all involved in stabilizing the shoulder. Our shoulder can roll around as well as internally and externally rotate. So the injuries we'll see are injuries to those rotator cuff muscles. So labrum tears, and then we'll also see impingements a lot. And this is something I've experienced myself. And this usually comes from overdoing it on the progressions, whether it's the weights or the volume of the workout or improper form, not being able to stabilize the shoulder and keeping the antagonist of your pressing muscles in engaged. And that's where we're pinching our back on the bench press or any overhead movement, just making sure we're in a stable position before we get back into it. And taking it really slow with the recovery is important. We'll get to that. So main risk factors is not putting yourself in a position to hurt yourself, not putting yourself in a vulnerable position. So what we're talking about with the rotator cuff issues, it's a lot of times we're in an externally rotated position. So the shoulder is rolled out or we are abducted, abducted. So we've got that elbow further away from our body, everything stretched out, and then we're loading it up. And that's just kind of a recipe for pain. I do a lot of my overhead pressing with the landmine or dumbbells so we can stay in a neutral position. Not to say we don't visit a barbell press, but we don't exclusively press overhead with a barbell in the gym. I love the earthquake bar. We recently got one of those. I love that for overhead because we don't have to go as heavy and we get to work the stabilizers even more. So right off the bat with a shoulder injury, you're not going to want to do any pressing, high rows or lateral raises, anything like that. You usually can do some pulls though. So I love getting some banded pulls in there, even right off the bat, help stabilize the shoulder, band pull aparts if the body allows. Once we get out of that first week after the injury, we'll begin pressing motions, but we like to keep it neutral or even underhand. So getting a light body bar or some light dumbbells and going palms in and pressing overhead. You don't want to avoid doing flies or anything where we're, again, abducted and externally rotated so that we don't injure the shoulder. Once we get out of that repair phase into the remodeling, we still don't really want to visit explosive movements overhead. So I wouldn't do a push press or a clean and jerk. But we can start the non-pressing motion, so our lateral raises, face pulls, and start loading it up and then transition that into some pressing motions. I don't do a lot of upright rows in the gym. And if we do, I like to do it with a kettlebell or some dumbbells. I find that that's just not a good position for the shoulder with the barbell most of the time, unless you have your grip absolutely perfect and the range of motion is appropriate. That's not one that I would visit. But these shoulder injuries are very common. It's something we've experienced since the beginning, and I don't think they're going away anytime soon because the rigors of daily life will injure our shoulders from time to time. But being conscious of doing scapular stabilization movements such as the face pulls, some banded external rotations, face pulls, band pull parts, all of that is important. And then I think strengthening the rotator cuff directly when loaded appropriately. This is not something we're going to go super heavy on, but I like this with the bands as well. Just doing some loaded external rotations, some wall slides with a band pulling me back, all types of things to strengthen those small stabilizing muscles in the shoulder are going to make us more durable and hopefully not experience those shoulder injuries moving forward. So lastly, and something I've had plenty of experience with is knee pain. So our knee joint, the patellofemoral joint, is a tough one, especially if you're doing anything athletic. But the discomfort around the kneecap is common. We've got a lot going on in there as far as tendons, ligaments. And if we have any type of muscle imbalances, and this is where looking at a joint by joint model, just knowing what joint is responsible for what, whether that's stability or mobility. And a lot of times our knee is a stable joint, but if it gets put in a position where it has to be mobile, it's a recipe for injury. The last time I tore my ACL, I was just playing some pickup basketball, came down on it and knee buckled in a valgus there. And it wasn't that I wasn't strong because I was doing plenty of glute activation, hip stuff, and stability stuff. It's just sometimes the body can only be pushed so far before it breaks. And doing that stuff in the gym is going to be very important. We want to make sure we load things appropriately and watch for the knees breaking down when we're doing anything. And I like to practice this even in my warmups, making sure we have our feet in a good position. We're not letting the knees buckle in, and we're just practicing that from the warm-up to the end of the workout. If I'm doing a box jump, I'm looking for the knees not to buckle. If I'm doing the squat, it's the same thing. So we just want to make sure we're doing that, practicing proper form. If you have people running and they have a lot of knee pain, you might want to assess their gait. There may be an issue there. And just making sure the body is loose, ready to go. When you do experience a knee injury in that inflammation phase, so that week of the injury, we don't want to run. We don't want a deep squat. I think some shallow squats are good to pump the blood around there. We can focus on the abductors again. So going out to the side against a band is great. Some steamboats or quadricep exercises. Again, I like to load with a band or some ankle weights and just lightly work on that knee extension for that first week. And then when we get into that repair phase about a week later, we're still not jumping around. I wouldn't go running uphill or downhill. If you're going to run, I think on a track, you could introduce some light impact walking, maybe even a light jog. Keep working on the hips and the quads, and we can get a little more advanced with that. So if we were doing stuff seated, we'll start standing. Some stability drills are great. So, you know, drinking bird, work on a single leg, toe touches, stuff like that. Just working some balance stability. Once we get out of that repair phase and we're pretty much healed up, we're starting to feel good, we'll start doing some plyometrics. We'll increase the volume and complexity of those plyometrics and jump training. And we can go back to running like normal before. But the best thing to do for your knees is stay ahead of it. So again, glute, hamstring, strength, making sure we're practicing a good position of the knee at all times. Don't let those knees buckle in because it's a recipe for injury down the road. So guys, we've talked about the common injuries we'll experience in the gym, some remedies to it, but I want to generally go over how to avoid injuries. And this is specific to in the gym, or if you have any type of athletic pursuits or a labor intensive job, consider this stuff that I'm going to talk about. So we want to warm up and cool down. And like that sounds, we're just getting ready for exercise, but then we also want to down regulate after the exercise. So I think the important things to think about with your warm up is you want to release the things that are tight. You want to activate the things that are weak, and we want to slowly increase our core temperature through movement, slowly starting to rehearse the movement of the day or the work of the day. And then after our exercise or labor, we need to cool down. We can't just go from giving a heavy effort to just stopping and sitting down or laying down. Let's work on making sure the soft tissue gets stretched out a bit. And this is where I think just some static stretching is excellent with some breathing exercises. The next step of how to avoid injuries is appropriate exercise selection. Make sure you're not picking movements that your body doesn't have the requisite strength or stability to perform. If you're not great at Olympic lifts, start with the kettlebell, start with a medicine ball, and get the patterns down before you move to the barbell. Visit a progression or regression model for some of the movements that have given you issues in the past and take that regression, slowly work it up back to the more advanced movements. And then also with your exercise selection, and this is our next step, we want to practice proper form and range of motion. Don't overload the movement until you can practice it with excellent technique. And we see this all too often where somebody will come to the gym with no experience in the weight room and they've seen somebody that threw a bar on their back on day one. You've got to earn the progression of the movement pattern. Next, we want to talk about proper diet and rest. If you're not well fed or well rested, you're probably not ready to give that 100%, that 90%, that 85% effort in the gym. You're more susceptible to an injury. You're more vulnerable. So make sure you're fueling yourself for the activities that you're subjecting yourself to, and make sure you're resting enough too. We like to get at least 6 hours of sleep if your schedule permits. Lastly, and this is a very important one as well, they're all important, but use a spotter when necessary. Don't put yourself in a position to get pinned. If you have to work out by yourself, you're working out at home, use the spotter arms for everything, especially your bench press, your squats, and be ready to bail. And I would say practice bailing. That's something with powerlifters, when they come to work with me, I want them to be comfortable dumping the weight. It's a lot better to have some weights crash down than you buckle under it. And I think that's an understated thing. There's no sense in ego lifting dangerously without an out. You need to be able to get out from under the bar if it gets to that point. If you liked what you heard and you'd like to train with us, we'd love to have you in the gym. Just fill out the interest form on our website if you're local, or if you'd like to try our community programming, we're offering a free week of training via our app, Train Heroic. Just go to our website, houstonstrength.com, and click on the Train Heroic logo. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll try to get another one out here very soon, and be well.
Thanks for listening. Subscribe to catch the next episode of the Houston Strength Podcast and uncover your strength.